I was thinking about this. How many of you have gone to a concert or a sporting event and you're really excited and you got there and you got to your seat and then you had somebody's big old head right in front of your view? Have you been there before? I mean, it's so annoying, right? A couple of weeks ago, I wasn't at a concert, but I went to the Plano Christmas Parade. Two of my daughters were marching in it, two of four, if you're counting, but two of them, one was a drum major for the band, one's a cheerleader, and so we went, and full dad heart engagement. I knew exactly where they were going to be. We got there early, we got a good spot, we were with friends, and as they were coming around the corner, my daughter Claire, she's a cheerleader, I couldn't find her in the crowd. There's a whole cluster of kids. And like, I'm engaged. I've got my phone out, so you know I'm engaged, right? And I'm ready to get this great picture, but there's a cluster of kids in the way. So I did the only really reasonable but completely undignified thing a dad can do, and I start running down the street with my phone doing this. I'm like, I can get one. But everywhere I'm going, there's people in front of me. I didn't last very long. I was like, this is ridiculous, you know? And I was thinking about that moment and how true that is in our everyday life, how for us, there are so many things that are going on in front of us, but we miss those things because we don't have clarity. We don't have a good line of sight. And spiritually, it's true that God's not absent. He's not unengaged. He's not uninvolved. It's not that he's not doing something in our life. A lot of times, it's that we have something that's just blocking our view. And tonight, I want to ask a really simple question that I think sits right at the heart of Christmas Eve. I want you to consider this. Is there anything that is blocking your view of what God is seeking to do in your life in this season right now? Just consider that. Is there anything that could be blocking your view of what God wants to do in your life right now? Because I think for some of us, that's the thing. God is nearer than you think. Redemption is closer than you think. God's good hand at work in your life is closer than you might realize. It just might be that something is blocking your view. And tonight, I want to talk to you about a woman in the Christmas story who a lot of times I think we overlook. We think about Mary and Joseph and shepherds and angels and all of these people surrounding Jesus in the Christmas story. But tucked into Luke 2, real quietly, there's a woman named Anna. And I want you to hear how Luke describes Anna in Luke chapter 2, verse 36. It says, there was a prophetess. She's a prophet. Her name is Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, which just is unkind to say. We don't talk about a woman's age, but she was so many years young, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then something happened. Verse 37 says she then lived as a widow. So she lost her husband. She lived as a widow to the age of 84. That's a lot of life in just two verses, isn't it? And that age and that day, women would get married really as young teenagers. So she got married young, 13, 14 years old, 7 years she lived, maybe happily ever after, we thought, for a little while, but after 7 years, she loses her husband. And we don't know what happened to him or why. We don't know everything that she felt in that moment, but we kind of sense, we know what it's like to lose someone in our life. How many of you know what it's like to have something ripped from you or a person ripped from your life unexpectedly, right? So she feels this, and Luke tells us something very subtle but really important about how she responded to human tragedy. It says she never left the temple. She was serving night and day with fastings and with prayers. In other words, she turned toward God. She didn't turn away from God in the middle of tragedy in her life. She turned toward him, and she remained with him. The text says that she never left the temple. And that doesn't mean that she lived there, that she was always in the building. It means that she oriented her entire life around the presence and the activity of God. He was central to her life. And I think that's what invites us into a story like this at Christmas time, because the truth is, and maybe kind of in this season of our life, the end of the year, before we begin a new year, looking at Christmas, we can begin to evaluate how life often begins to crowd our vision of what's going on right in front of us and maybe what God might want to do in us. I imagine there's some of you who come tonight carrying things that you did not expect to be carrying this season or this year. Maybe not all bad things, but maybe just some things that you never thought this would be yours to deal with. And others of you probably have been moving at such a crowded, busy pace. You haven't slowed down long enough to realize it's Christmas. It just hits you. And you've jammed the brakes, and suddenly you realize it's here and it's now, and the calendar has been full, and life has been full, and the noise has been full in your life. And I think that Christmas has a way of amplifying the longings that sit within us. It has a way of bringing out kind of the aches and the desires that maybe just sit within our life. And maybe you have longings that you would slow down and have a little bit slower life, but you haven't found a way to do so. Or maybe you've longed that something would be different in your life, or you've longed for peace in a relationship or a situation that you're in, or maybe just peace on earth or something like that, or you've longed for clarity about something that you're looking at or something that you're hoping for, or maybe you've just desired and longed that you would understand life would make a little more sense why I'm going through the thing I'm going through. And I found that for a lot of us, when life really begins to hit, a lot of us begin to drift in response to it. And for some of us, it's one of two things. We either turn inward, where we just kind of have inner resolve and go, I'm just going to plod through. I'm just going to do my thing. I'm just going to make it to the end. Or we turn bitter. We turn inward or turn bitter. And I got to tell you, neither one of those things helps us to really understand or see what it is that God might be doing in front of us. In fact, what they do is they narrow our vision to where it makes it even harder for us to understand the bigger things that are going on. But Anna shows us a third way. She shows us a better way. When life hits, she turns toward God and she remains in readiness with God. And I wonder tonight, I'm going to give you some questions instead of points tonight. I wonder, as you think about your life, how you're responding to the longings and the aches of your soul, the desires that kind of have been churning inside of you, or the challenges that you're facing. Or maybe you've experienced, like Anna, a tragedy in your life, and I wonder how it is you're responding to those things inside you, because those things are either going to block your view of the bigger things, the more profound things, of the things of God in your life, or with time and the right kind of attention, they may begin to clarify some things for you. And in Anna's life, she had real human pain, something that all of us can relate to in some way. She has real human pain, but what happens is she doesn't let the human pain push her away from God. Instead, she uses the human pain and allows it to drive her closer to God, and she remains ready and attentive with Him. Anna wasn't just remaining faithful, she was remaining available. She was in a posture, in a place that she could not miss it. I'm going to put myself right in the path that I couldn't miss a thing if God began to move in my life. And in the context of this, if you start at the beginning of Luke 2, it's when Jesus is born, and then you've got angels that appear to shepherds over here, and the shepherds rush over here to come and see Jesus and Mary and Joseph and meet with them. And then just a little later, 8 days later actually, it says, then Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem and presented Him in the temple. And that's when they officially gave Him the name Jesus that the angel had told Mary to name Him. And then it says here in verse 38, it says, at that very moment. And that means that Anna didn't arrive late. She didn't hear it secondhand. She didn't miss the thing God was doing because she was somewhere else, physically or emotionally or spiritually somewhere else, to where she couldn't witness what was happening. At that very moment when they brought Jesus in, Anna was ready. She was there with her attention, and so she couldn't miss the movement of God. And what I love really about Anna here is it says she's a prophetess. So she's a prophet. She knows the word of God. She knows the promises of God. But what she doesn't know is exactly when is God going to fulfill the promises. Will it be in her lifetime? I mean, she had no reason to suspect it would. Much like us, we go, Jesus is coming again. Will it happen in my lifetime? I don't really know. She didn't know. And she didn't know how the redemption would come to her people. So what she decided to do is, I'm going to spend my entire life oriented around the word and the activity of God. I'm going to live my life in the path of God so that when He moves, I cannot miss it. And I think that's a good word for us, because a lot of us want clarity, greater clarity from God. But what we're not really willing to do is to give the time that it takes to have attention toward God. And we say things like, you know, I'm going through a thing and I just don't know where God is in this. I don't feel like God has shown up, or I haven't heard a word from God. I don't know that God has anything to say about the thing that I'm going through. Sometimes I think we feel like God is hiding when we're just in a hurry. You know, we're just distracted and frankly living at a pace of life that makes awareness pretty much impossible. And Christmas, I need you to hear this, it's not only about God showing up, but it's about whether or not we're paying attention when he does show up into the moments of our life. And I think Anna shows us that here. And so let me ask it this way tonight, another question for you. How are you putting yourself in the place where you're the least likely to miss what God is doing? In other words, how am I positioning my life in such a way that I am very likely to notice whenever God does a thing or says a thing? Or how am I living my life in such a way that it would be very easy to miss it if God was to do a thing? How am I positioning myself? How am I putting myself in the path of God? Because what I've found is the people who are usually most clear about what God is doing are not often the people who are the busiest and the loudest, but often they're the people who say, I choose to remain as near as possible, waiting in readiness so that when God moves, I just can't miss it. And I love something Luke shows us here. He kind of reveals this, that this isn't a thing that just happened for Anna. In verse 38, it says, at that very moment. But I don't think it's the kind of thing that Anna just suddenly, it clicked for her. Oh, now I understand what the will of God is. Now I know everything about what God wants for me in my life and what he's doing in this world. This is the fruit of decades of Anna walking with the Lord. What did it say she did? Day and night. Day and night, she was serving. She was giving her life and her faith away. She was praying. She was depending on the Lord, calling out to him in conversation with him. She was fasting, clinging to him, feeding on him. She was building habits, time after time, day after day, began to shape the way she could see. And we know this is true in the rest of our life. Whatever we give our attention to over and over again is gonna shape the way we see a thing. And you think about how many times in your life you have missed something, you didn't see it, because you were fixated on something else, like conversations with people in your life. You were right there with them, and it was significant, but you were maybe scrolling. And so you missed not just words, but you missed connection, you missed opportunity, you missed engagement, you missed life, right? Do it with our kids. Come on, parents. Our kids are living their life, and we're looking at a screen, and maybe I drive in Plano a lot, and a lot of Plano drivers are missing a lot of things on the road because they're looking at screens, and it's really scary out there, y'all. But it's true spiritually as well. I think most of us, we're not missing things because we're in open rebellion to God. I think most of us, when we're missing the things that God has for us, it's because we're just distracted. It's because we have built habits that keep us noticing everything that's happening except the presence of God in all of those happenings. But Anna, I admire her. She's one of my favorites because she somehow learned over these years of her life how to slow her soul with the presence of God. And her practices, these habits she had, they didn't earn her a moment with Jesus, but they taught her to recognize Jesus when he arrived. That's why when Jesus came into the room, just a baby, when he is carried into the room, she doesn't second guess. She doesn't overanalyze. She's not asking deep questions. She just recognizes hope has arrived in this place. And so it makes me think a lot about my habits and my rhythms. And I do this a lot at the end of the year and at the beginning of the year. And I begin to evaluate. And I'd ask you, what habits do you keep that help you to see and respond to God? That's a pretty significant question, because we make habits to be good at everything else in our life. But do you have habits that help you to see and respond to God? Not what you wish your habits were, not what you know the Bible says they should be, or what they used to be, but honestly, how are you practicing things daily that help you see him and know him and recognize his voice when he's speaking to you? Are your habits helping you or hurting the way that you see and recognize Jesus? Christmas is a good moment to ask that. I think it's a great moment to reflect on, am I building with my days daily habits that help me to see and to know that I might not miss a thing? I'll show you one more thing here about Anna. I love this. It says, at that very moment, she came up and she began giving thanks to God, and she Check this out. She continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Luke says when Anna saw Jesus, her immediate reaction is to speak about Jesus. And I love how it's described because Anna's a prophetess. She knows some things and she has seen Jesus, but she hasn't seen a miracle. And she hasn't heard him speak. She hasn't seen a healing or the feeding of 5,000. She doesn't know anything about a cross or an empty tomb or how God is bringing redemption to his people through this baby. She just sees this baby and she knows hope has arrived in this place. And I want you to know that hope isn't simply about, or Christmas isn't about hope just arriving in a temple. But it's about hope arriving in a person. This child isn't just a baby. It's not just some child. This is God come in the flesh. He's the eternal Son of God who left everything behind to come and be among us, to be with us, to come and make himself a servant to us, to lay everything aside, to empty himself, taking on the form of a servant, even to the point of death on a cross. He is the long-awaited and long-promised Messiah who would come saving. And so the one Anna was waiting for is the one, the same one, who Jesus steps into our own longings today. Whatever that ache you carry is, he steps into our questions and he sits with us in our silence. He's the same Jesus who steps into our crowded lives and says, let me show you a better way. Take my yoke upon you, right? The Savior that we worship is the child that she saw, the one who heals the broken hearts that we carry, the one who calms the many storms of our lives, the same one who walks with us in every unseen moment and forgives our past. And I kind of imagine this story. I don't know what it looks like for you, but she's 84 years young, right? So she's seen this baby, and now she's running, she's shuffling, right, all over the temple, kind of doing this. And it says to all of those who are looking for redemption, she's just going, he's here, it's him, you know? And it's got to be, just for those hearing, like, this woman's insane. But the reality is, I think if you see Jesus for real, like, you don't have to be asked to talk. You don't have to be pushed into it. You don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to be ready to have some doctrinal argument. You just talk about what you have seen. I saw him. Hope has arrived. And it's the pattern of all those who encountered Jesus for real. The shepherds saw Jesus, and what did they do? They ran and talked about him. Just before this, a guy named Simeon, a priest, he sees Jesus and he begins making declarations about him. Anna does. I think about a woman at a well who sees Jesus, and it says that she runs and she starts telling everyone in her village about what she has seen. It makes me think about this question. Where have you seen God working this year? And as you move into the next few days, I want you to think about the people that you're going to be around. You're going to have some intentional time, purposeful time, maybe the same crowd, maybe folks that you don't see as often, but you're going to have some real face time with some people over the next week. And I want you to think about how you've already seen God working and what could you say naturally and honestly about the good things that God has been doing in and around your life. Not like, how can I get into some doctrinal argument? How can I, you know, win them to my way? How can I convince them of this truth? But how could you just naturally and honestly say, hey, I've seen God do some things and it's just been really neat and I just wanted to tell you about it? Because tonight, what Christmas does is it invites us into a rhythm. It's an Anna-like rhythm. It's to see, to notice, to respond, and to speak. Notice, respond, speak. Notice, respond, speak. It's a pattern. It's a rhythm of living our life and out each and every day, because the good news of Christmas isn't simply that God came near one time or that he's coming again one time, but it's that he's still coming near to us each and every day, drawing near to us as we draw near to him. So as we move out of here, not rushing out of here, but moving this Christmas into maybe something more of our normal lives, the invitation tonight, I think, is pretty simple in the text. It's just don't miss the moment. Don't live in such a way that you have so many things blocking as he's moving in your direction. Don't miss the moment, because Christmas isn't just about a moment to remember. It's about a person to receive. Who he's not far off, and he's not hiding, and he is. I mean, he is here, and he is here for you. And he came near, not just so that we would have a sentimental good Christmas story, but that we'd have a redeemer. And we need a redeemer in our lives. And he came and he was in a manger, but a manger leads to a cross, and a cross leads to an empty tomb, and an empty tomb leads to a risen king, a king who promises, I am never leaving or forsaking, and I will redeem all things and make all things new and right. So don't just see the moment, see the Messiah. Hope has come for us. Whatever has been blocking your view in this season of what God might be wishing, wanting, desiring, already doing, it doesn't have to have the final word. If it's a situation or a relationship or a stronghold or a bad habit or a silence or a pattern of life or a pace of life that is blocking your view, it doesn't have to block your heart. Don't miss the moment this Christmas. Place yourself right in the path that when Christ begins to move, when he begins to speak, you can never miss it. And when you see Jesus, I'm just telling you, I guarantee you, I can't help it. When I see him, all I want to do is speak about him, because he changes the way I think and feel and speak about everything. And I wish that for you this Christmas. Can I pray for you? Lord, we thank you for your word. It's good. And Holy Spirit, we're so grateful for your presence with us. We don't need to just talk about a story. We need an encounter with you. I pray that because we have come together in this place and you are with us, that we would never be the same again. Jesus, may it never be lost on us that you lived in eternity and you left it to enter into the confines of time, and you left divinity to wear humanity. You left glory behind to wear humility and to be humiliated. And you came not to be served, but to serve and to give your life as a ransom. And I pray that on this Christmas, you would help us to move into a pace that we wouldn't only look back, but we'd look into your work in the present, and we would long more and more each day for your return. You are good, you are great, you are God. In Jesus' name, amen.